recording
Millie.
On this
knows
computer.
What's good.
And Helen wanted to know if the grapes had seeds. No, I eat seedless grapes.
But they're like shriveled and they need to go in the garbage.
They're tasty. Right?
All it is just, it's fine.
It's fine. We're going to go to Nikki first, I think, even though she's eating a bagel. Nikki, do you want me to read your thing or do you want to talk about it?
I can just talk about it if you like.
I like that a lot better. Go ahead.
So my daughter has, in the last 3 years, had a really good friend, her best friend, and that girl has been really supportive of Becky all that time. She's never said a mean thing, never been hurtful in any way. My daughter's got a number of mental health issues, and that friend's seen her fully dysregulated, etc., and still never gone back to the school or said anything bad about her. So we've always judged her as having a really good heart and a really lovely girl. And she's been with us at our house and on holidays a lot. But her background is one where her mother's got mental health issues and uses drugs and alcohol to self-medicate that. And the home life's difficult. And that girl was actually asked to leave the school more for the mother's reasons than her reasons, I believe. And then there was an incident just recently where my daughter was on a train with her and another friend, and the girl in question was vaping, and a video was taken and put online, and so Becky, my daughter, got called into the school, and basically they said, "We do not want you to spend any time with this girl. She's bad news. There's a reason she's not at the school." And we've had it reinforced by the school dean and the principal, and they've said it directly to Becky. And at the time I said, as we were driving away, I said, "Look, I don't actually believe in what they've said. I think she's made a bad choices, but she's a good person and good heart, and she's always welcome in our house. But, you know, we already had the rule that she didn't stay at the friend's house or visit the friend's house. But I said, you know, we just won't be doing free range going on trains and being unsupervised. And I didn't really put a time frame on it. It's sort of more but it's just been churning in my head of, am I being naive that, and she is doing, well, no, this is all rumours from the teachers, but they said that she is trying things like alcohol and pot and things like that, so at her new school. So, but so far I've just been using those as learning. Like just talk about it with my daughter and about the choices that she's making, and you know, and we just talk about it. So, but it is just churning in my head of, am I being naive because your friends, who you hang out with, is the choices you make.
Okay, so I'm gonna mute you just so Kathy and I can gab, and then we'll probably bring you back in. So just to be clear, for everybody else, actually, I want to get a quick confirmation. So your daughter's friend's mom has mental health issues, correct?
Yes.
And it says your daughter has mental health challenges as well.
Yeah.
And this friend has always been kind and loving towards your daughter, and you really like this young lady, right?
Yeah.
Even though she's kind of gotten on a bad track.
Yeah, we've never seen it in our home, and she's always incredibly kind, respectful, lovely.
So your question is, am I being naive if I let my daughter keep hanging out with this kid, even if it's in our home and it's supervised? And the other weird part about your question that you wrote was that your daughter's school, you were told to break all ties with this girl. And I don't know.
She said that.
I know, it just seems a little weird to me that a school is going to tell me who my daughter, maybe it's just like friendly advice. So my two cents is I feel like your daughter's, I could tell just by the tone of your email and the tone of your voice that you really like this girl and you feel like you can be a positive, you know, version of stability in her life and you might be able to help her. While at the same time, maybe, you know, the fact that this friend is having hair challenges, that it's a vehicle for you to have these kind of important conversations with your daughter. So I'm sure Kathy's going to have more to share, but my two cents is as long as it's supervised, I don't know, open your heart. I feel like if you're answering from your head or your logic or your fear, you're going to sever ties. But I could already tell that your heart wants to stay open. And I would say keep it open while at the same time not being naive.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that I'm just going to move that over a little
sure.
bit. Is that okay? I think that I agree. And this was on Facebook and I read what other people wrote and I agreed is that, you know, I can see every single side of it. I can see the side that she's been good to your daughter and it's her good friend that you care about her because you've known her for a long time. I know that her mother has struggled. Therefore, that's probably why she's struggling. So it's not like she came into the world struggling. It's been her environment. And that's not any fault of hers. And maybe she did need to be moved to schools. Maybe the educators do know some details that you don't know. But at the same time, like I remember when I was in high school, there was a boy I was dating when I was a sophomore. And I remember a bunch of teachers. And again, my parents were teachers. So all the teachers were friends with my parents. But they were like, you don't want to hang out with this guy. He's bad news. And there were things he did, but I didn't. Like, and he never expected me to. And he was a really nice kid. And you know what he does now? He teaches paraplegic children how to ski. But he, at the time, he did smoke pot occasionally. He drank occasionally, but I never did. So it's one of those things that sometimes as adults, we have this lens of if my kid is around this kid, they're just going to do this. And that's not always true. I think that one of the blessings of, and I think everybody else could probably say the same thing, or maybe the blessings of where I grew up is I grew up around a lot of different people, a lot of different socioeconomic needs. And I was friends with a lot of people that I didn't do what they did, but they were friends. And I think that that's actually good for us to have experiences with people that we don't, you know, we're not exactly like. Now, at the same time, I'll put my mother hat on. And I agree with you, the visits should be supervised. I totally agree with all your decisions that she can't go to her house mm-hmm. and that there's more thoughtfulness around, you know, if they're going out, you know, having some kind of supervision or for a limited amount of time. Like that I think is just wisdom and not being naive. Like we know that because this girl, we care about her and we love her, but because she's just learning her boundaries and she's young, I'm going to step in and let you know that there's only certain things that are going to be okay. But in no way are we going to say, I'm never going to speak to you again. I'm never going to talk to you again. I think there's a really, it's going to be a creative endeavor for you mm-hmm. where instead of saying, okay, here's our decision. It's done. There may be some
Yeah, there's
fluctuation.
Going to be days where you might need to, you know, supervise with a little more aggressiveness or set boundaries. And then there's going to be other days where, you know, you let them walk to the park together and where they're truly not supervised. Like it's like
a 30 minute thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's an ebb and it's a flow. So I'm going to pull you back in and just see if that helps or if you had any thoughts, Nikki.
No, that's great. It was just, they were so black and white and
yes.
We've had it. They said it when she left, they said it when they, with this incident and then I was on camp with them and they kept coming up and saying, you need to break ties with that girl. So it was just like, and it was so black and white. I was like, just isn't my experience. I was like you. I had lots of friends that my parents, you know, had funny coloured hair and did different things. They turned out to be great adults. And because I knew them better than their hair colour, you know.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And as kids and as teens, we're much more accepting of all of that. Like, we don't look at everybody and say, you need to be like me. I think there's this, we become a little more homogenized when we, is that the right word? Where we all try and be the same mm-hmm. when we're becoming adults, where we're like, oh, I spend time with people who do this, who make this amount of money, who live in this. I mean, I hope we're not like that at all, or none of us are, but there is this
push toward that, where you just cut off ties. And when what's beautiful about going to a school, a public school, and sometimes a private school too, is you are exposed to so many different people. And I talk to, just like you, Nikki, I talk to my daughter all the time about kids that she's friends with. And I'm putting that in quotes because it's not necessarily her best friends, but kids she knows that she's known for a long time who have gotten in trouble because of drugs. Or there was a kid that she grew up with that she knows really well who got arrested in the school for selling drugs. And that is not a thing where I'm like, I'm only saying that because she knew him. They were acquaintances. They'd known each other since childhood. And these things happen. You know what I mean? People we know get into trouble. And the hope is can we all, we don't have to be their saviors. They don't have to move into our house. But can we be a role model of we see you? Mm-hmm. And within reason and boundary, we see you because this is a difficult time.
This is kind of tangential from this, but I remember that one of my daughters started hanging out with a girl and I didn't know her that well, but I prejudged her just about the clothes she wore and she colored
her.
She looked older. She colored her hair a certain way, which was just off-putting to me in my very judgmental state.
And she had a phone early.
I
remember.
And then I got to talk to her, and she's just an incredibly kind, sweet, successful, unbelievable young lady. So I say that not to Nikki, but just to all of us is, catch yourself when you judge, because we tend, that's kind of where our brain is hardwired to do that. And just get curious about, okay, why am I thinking about this without even really talking to them? Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're a parent, because that's why Todd was worried, is because our daughter was spending a lot of time with this girl and she looks so old and he's like, this is confusing. And we kind of, and again, Nikki, you keep checking in with your daughter mm-hmm. about how are you feeling? Because that's what we really went to, is we said to our daughter, is she a good friend to you? Oh yeah. And she's so smart, whatever. It turns out now that my daughter's in high school, it turns out this girl is a 4.0. She's like the best baseball player ever. She's, great at band. Like that's the thing, is we didn't, and it's not about saying, oh, they're all going to turn into these amazing people. They could just have a really, basic
existence. And conversely, you could have a kid who looks the part
totally,
and is the opposite.
Steph from Pretty in Pink. Yes.
Nobody knows who Steph from Pretty in
Pink
is.
They know Pretty in Pink.
No, like maybe three of these people know who Steph
is from Pretty in Pink. Well, and again, I just say Steph, but any character like in a movie or a book that sometimes has the good grades, they're nice to the parents, they're really like, oh, they come from a good family, and you find out they're the ones.
What's the kid from Leave It to Beaver? Eddie Haskell.
Yeah, but they knew Eddie was a
I don't know.
He was a handful, but just think about literature, we know there are people that sometimes play a role and aren't very real. And then there's people who kind of show themselves as they are. Yeah. And you're seeing what you see is what you get in a good way. So
sweetie, Peggy Bear says she says this to Nikki, you may be the only accepting person in her life. So, take that. And when in doubt, because a lot of times your brain is going to get in a disagreement with your heart.
Yeah. Mine does all the time.
Most of the time I my intention is to let my heart win.
Yeah.
And
keep I used to have this, Nikki, this is a good visual for you, and I'll send a clip with this talk. It's this picture of a heart and a brain shaking hands. Mm. And why I like that is that's my image for me of I'm going to go with my heart, but my brain's on board too. So I'm not going to lose my mind here. I'm going to see what I see, because sometimes when we're too in our heart, we pretend we're not seeing things and you're going to keep your eyes wide open. But at the same time, you are going to go with what feels good and what your daughter is telling you and trusting her and doing this as a team. Instead of you deciding every day what to do. Okay.
So just so you guys know, this is a very informal process. There's some new people on here. If you have a question, either type it in the comments or raise your hand. Or if you find yourself in one of the boxes, there is a button that says raise your hand. I do have some pre-written questions, but I prefer to kind of have an exchange.
Shocking.
Instead of Kathy and I just reading stuff. So No pressure, but just do what I say,
and
everything will be fine.
Do it my way.
And I also want to say hi to everybody: Dawn, Helen, Nikki, Aaron, Millie, Emily, Sean, Peg, Alyssa, Aaron, Kelsey, somebody from the 773. We can't see who you are.
That's Chicago.
And then somebody from the old 414, which I think is Milwaukee, which means what, sweetie?
The good land.
The good land. And why do you know that?
Because that's in Wayne's World.
I thought it was because you are astute in Native American history.
No, Alice Cooper taught me.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then while you guys are thinking of the question that you want to ask, there's a book called Differently Wired. I'm going to put it right there, even though it looks backwards. Does it look backwards to you guys?
Fine.
No, it doesn't matter. It looks backwards to us. What is the deal with this book?
So I'll hold it now. So this is our friend Debbie's book. As you guys know, she was on the podcast. We've been kind of talking about this online in Team Zen, not in a really structured way. Like Todd and my version of book club is come if you want. Like we're not like, ooh, answer these questions. We're like, if you want to read this book, here's a group of people who are reading it too. So you can throw stuff out. But throw stuff out, meaning say things online, ask questions. And some people have, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback. Debbie is moving out of Amsterdam today. She just posted a picture and she just moved out of her place in Amsterdam, and she and her husband and her son Asher are moving to New York today. And she's going to join us on December 11th, which is a Tuesday. And we're going to have a Zen talk just like this, but she's going to be our guest. So you can ask Debbie questions about her book. Debbie's one of the nicest people ever, totally low key. So you can ask her whatever you want. She's not one of those people who takes quick offense or anything. She's a teacher. She likes to educate people and she likes people to feel comfortable with her. And I also want to tell you, if you didn't see this on Facebook, that Debbie did a TED Talk on Thursday in Amsterdam.
I thought you were going to say Debbie did Dallas.
No.
That'd be weird.
That's bad. Yeah. She did.
Peggy's laughing.
That's bad because that was like an old porn movie from like.
Never saw it.
Good.
I've seen my share of porn, but not that one.
Good. I'm glad. Debbie did a Amsterdam TED Talk, and she was so glad to be done. She said, I was emailed her after just to say, how'd you do? And she said, it was terrifying. So I was like, oh.
I'll bet you she did great.
She said it was terrifying, but she's so glad she did it, and she's glad to be done. And we'll post it on the Team Zen page once it's up. Obviously, the TED Talk was about neurodiversity and about why we need to respect all different ways that brains work, because we need those children for our future. And we've got to quit telling them that what they have is not of value. So that's it. So that's Debbie.
Helen asked a question in the chat.
Yes, New York City. Kelsey.
No.
I know, but said New York City.
Helen asked, does anyone know if there's an audio version of Differently Wired? And it just so happens that I have an app on my phone called Audible.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bunch of books on tape. And you just download it or you stream it. And I did a look, and there it is. So, and I think Audible is one of the more famous apps that you can subscribe to. And I'm sure you could even Google like coupon codes where you get a free month for the first month or whatever. So that's the one thing. I do want to ask Helen a question. Helen, do you mind answering a quick question for me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm eating grapes, and you said that seedless grapes taste different from non-seedless grapes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, apparently we do.
Does one taste better than the other?
Yeah, the ones with seeds taste better.
Is it so much better that it's worth the trouble of spitting the seeds out?
No, you just have to crunch or swallow
them. You eat them.
You eat the seeds?
You eat the seeds, yeah.
That's crazy.
I bet they're good for you. I bet they're good like fiber for your body.
It's proper fiber, yeah. Insoluble kind.
So if you learn nothing else today, everybody on Team Zen, eat the seeds in your grapes.
I didn't know I could. I thought that would be bad.
I'm not recommending.
Helen's like, oh no.
Maybe just the odd seed is not
good. Well, I will agree with you in that, and I know people will probably disagree with me on this, but I think that watermelon with seeds is better. And not because I like to eat the seeds, but I kind of, waterless water, or what is it called? Seedless watermelon. To me, waterless, there's not a lot of taste.
Waterless watermelon wouldn't taste very good, sweetie. And think about how many seeds are in a watermelon.
A lot.
When God, if you believe in God, made the watermelon.
The universe. Let's say universe to make everybody content.
When the universe made watermelon, I like to call God a she. She's like, let's just put like 152 seeds in here. And same as strawberries. Like all those little things are seeds, right?
Right.
But like in a banana or an avocado, they're like, one's good enough.
Right.
What's up with that?
Well, that's people, right? Some people have, you know, a million things that they can do. Some people have one thing.
What's your thing, sweetie? Talking?
I can think deep.
You like to read a lot of books at once.
You know, yes. You're being very like provocative today. Like you're bringing up, like you talked about porn. Now you're talking about God. You're talking. Why are you pushing?
I'm just trying
buttons?
To keep. I have an allegiance to the truth.
Okay. So anyway, you know, one thing I will say to all of you as see, when we do a podcast, I can be like, erase that, please.
We never erase anything.
There has been in history, there's things you've said where I've been like, erase that.
We've done 450 shows. How many times have you told me to erase something?
Maybe like five, but no, I like two. And Todd always gets mad and he'll be like, that's just me being me. And I'm like, okay, I'll get all the emails about how it's inappropriate and how you're not understanding.
But if I'm saying something mean, they should email me.
But who do they email? They email me.
You guys all love Kathy more than
they email. No, it's not about that. I just get the email saying Todd, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I know.
Is that what they say? Todd, the blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So one other thing I wanted to tell you guys is that you get I'm going to tell them about our speakers and stuff.
Can we hold? Let's tease that.
Oh, okay.
Because Dawn said, if for some reason we can't join on December 11th, can we submit our questions for Debbie via email?
Absolutely.
To you? That is a big fat yes.
Yeah.
Kelsey said, yay, New York City. Is there a new person in Team Zen who lives in Brooklyn? I thought I heard something on a podcast a while ago, but can't remember the name. If there's anybody from Brooklyn, and I could try to match people up geographically, and I'll get permission from everybody.
I was
going to
say, instead
share.
Of matching people up, just say where people are located so they can make that decision.
That's what I mean. And I'll get permission before I share anything to anybody. We're going to go back to Helen because she has a question.
Okay.
Hang on. Okay. Helen has a little question. Helen, are you still there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Still hear me. Yeah, great. It's just a question about friends and social connection, because I have a daughter who's 8, and she doesn't have a lot of friends. And just recently, she goes to dance class with one of her best friends. And then I took them both to dance class and took them back, and they just didn't speak at all in the car. So it was like silence. God. It was like I didn't start the engine because I was like, well, I'm not a taxi driver here, so just
right.
So, yeah. And then afterwards, it was like my daughter Emily. She gets really angry. She gets so angry about, you know, like I dared to mention this thing, but I mean it was so obvious. So like I'm not allowed to talk about it. So I just wondered, do you have some ideas about kind of how to open the door there? And I'm just wondering if, do I like just not talk about things like that are bothering me? Do I model that in some way? But maybe I do. Anyways, just if you have some ideas of how to, you know, because I would like to support her.
Yes.
But, you know, how to do that.
So I'm sorry, I was distracted by eating grapes, but was it when you're in the car with your daughter, and is there another friend there, or is it just you and your daughter?
The specific time it was, I was taking them both to dance class, so they were both in the car.
Got it. Okay.
Not like in the past, we've had like silly conversations, and you know, it's actually quite fun.
Yeah.
But like this last time, it was just silence. And I even sort of tried to say, you know, goodbye and things. And the little friend just kind of looked at me. And then she kind of like just turned around and walked away. I was like, whoa. So I emailed her mom and said, like, is everything okay and stuff? And she said, well, you know, because I imagine they have a fallout. But
interesting.
You know, it was just, I mean, fallouts are normal, but it's like she's like a little clam. She just shuts. And then like if I dared to mention it, which of course I did because it was frustrating me, you know, it gets tighter and tighter the more I try to find out. So it's like off limits at the moment. So, but yes. Which is strange.
I'm going to let Kathy take a run at this.
Oh, I thought you'd want to
talk. Well, I do. I'm going to actually, okay.
So just what we're going to tell you, Helen, is just the fact that Todd runs into this.
I totally struggle with this. And once again, this is my judgment coming out. For my daughter's friends who are conversationalists, I like them so much more, even though that has nothing to do
which
with.
Which is not fair.
Which has nothing to do with their inherent value.
Right.
I understand that. But I love a kid who can carry on a freaking conversation.
Because that's you and you're an extrovert and not everybody's like that.
And there's other friends of my kids, you can't get them to say a peep. And if you can imagine my personality, I'm stupid, I'm silly, I'm okay with making fun of myself. I ask questions. I ask open-ended questions about TV shows and like nothing, crickets. And I personally, it drives me nuts. And it's funny, I haven't thought about this, but Helen said, I'm not a taxi driver. Mm-hmm. So I'm just supposed to sit there and drive these kids and they're not supposed to freaking talk to me?
Yes.
I need to be talked to.
Okay. Are you finished?
That's why.
Okay. Okay. Todd and I talk about this like almost every week, Helen, because I feel like it's a good practice for us as parents. Okay. So as Todd said, all three of our daughters have friends who are super talkative. And when they get in the car, Todd has fun with them and they talk to him. And, you know, we're very low key with all of our kids' friends. Like they can call us Todd and Kathy. Like it's a very, you know, comfortable environment, or at least we try and make it that way. But then our girls have a few friends who are very quiet and they don't talk. One I'm thinking specifically of who's lovely girl. Like me, when I say lovely, I mean she's very kind to our daughter, and our daughter says nothing but nice things about her. And again, Helen, just so you know, I'm going to get to the other part about them having a little spat too. Like I'm not going to forget that part. But the thing is that we have to remember the reason we sometimes feel connected to someone or that we think people are doing things the right way is because it's the way we would do it. And sometimes as parents, we have to remember that we'll get it. This I say a lot on the show, and I haven't said it lately, but I used to say to you guys all the time on the show, it's the same thing in different pants, and I got that from Oprah. But where at home we'll be like, okay, I get it. All three of my children are different. I see them as being different. I accept them. They're completely acceptable. Great. And then a kid gets in the car and they're quiet. And we're like, what's wrong with this kid? Why are they quiet? Why do they need to talk to me? Well, it's the same thing in different pants. If a kid wants to sit and relax in your car, the biggest gift that we could give to that kid is to accept them that way. Now, to Helen's point, to Todd's point, and even what I do sometimes is I will say when this little girl gets in the car, and then my middle daughter's in the car with her, I'll say, do you guys mind if I turn on the radio? And because I'm fine with them not talking and I'm fine with some quiet, but I will play some music, you know, like for me, because the truth is we kind of are taxi drivers. And I don't, you know, I think at this point in our kids' lives when they're young, it is a part of our job is just to get them to where they need to go because they can't get there. And I love having deep conversations in the car sometimes. It's not that one's good and one's bad, but I think that part of acceptance of other people is allowing them to show up a certain way and us saying to them, that's okay with me. Maybe not through words, but through, I accept you. Now, Helen's question was really though also about it felt like in that situation, her daughter and this friend maybe had an argument, and that, the daughter's, the friend got out of the car and was kind of mad or miffed and didn't say goodbye. And I think in that situation, if it's in a car or they're being quiet or not, I think what you have to remember about our kids, no matter what the age, is they don't want to be pitied and they don't want you to be afraid or nervous for them. They need you to show up in such a way that you've been there, done that. So there's like a sense of, instead of like, oh my God, what's going on? Or can I help? Or what's going on? Or tell me, where they feel like, because they're already feeling the pressure of this discussion or argument they're having with their friend, it feels scary. And if you're scared too, or you're just really too inquisitive, it kind of doubles that feeling for them. What I try to do, and again, you know, Todd may have different input about this, but like when my daughters come home, and all three of them do occasionally come home and tell me about someone they're either in an argument with or someone who said something not nice to them, And I try and be very like, oh, bummer. Like, oh, and then what'd you say? Oh, and not get too invested. Not because I don't care, but because I want to limit my worry, because it's so normal. Like, and again, sometimes we just, it's again, it's that thing where we're like, we want to solve this, or we don't want you to hurt, or we want to help you. And the teaching comes through the experience, not through what we're going to say. And so, Helen, to you, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you saying to your daughter after the little girl gets out, saying, was it a tough, did you guys have a tough time? And if she's like, no, you know, I don't want to talk about it, say, all right, but if you want to, I'm here. Like, so you don't have to pretend you don't see it, but you don't have to solve it. You just are there for it. And I find that the more I back off and I'm not like overly inquisitive or dramatic, they'll often come to me later and be like, she was totally mean to me tonight. And I'll be like, oh yeah. So what happened about, you know, I don't know if I'm doing a good job role playing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this isn't about when it's your kid and their friend. This is about when it's just your kid in the car. I remember one time I was taking JC to lacrosse and gosh darn it, I was going to connect with that young lady. Yeah. And she was just having a crappy day and she didn't feel like talking. And I remember really pushing, like, you know, how come you're not talking to me? And it's funny, as adults, we're like, when I'm ready to connect, you better be ready to connect. And the bottom line is, she wasn't ready to connect. And I've got smarter since that. And I get less frustrated most of the time, not all the time, when it's just not time. So as a parent, it's our job to get creative and figure out the good time when to do it, as opposed to me being very selfish and saying, no, we have 20 minutes in the car. I haven't had a good conversation with you in 2 days. And I've decided that now is the time we're going to have a good conversation. And you're just kind of swimming upstream.
And then if the kid doesn't, then there's something wrong with them.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you, because you're not talking about
it. Then I'll get mad and then I'll go into my 7-year-old mode and mm-hmm. I'll be as childish as I think she is being. So.
And the thing I think that really helps, and maybe many of you are in relationship with your partner or your good friends, who one's an introvert, one's an extrovert. I can help Todd. Okay, first of all, one of my daughters is having a birthday party tonight and Todd's going to a concert, so he won't be around. It's such a bummer because he's better at birthday parties than I am. You know what I mean? Like, it's a role that he's better at as an extrovert. But one, and I said that first so you don't think I'm like picking on him, because his skills are so needed. But sometimes he forgets what introversion is about, and that he thinks that everybody should be like partying all the time and talking and having fun. And I find connection through silence sometimes, not just by myself, but being in the car and listening to a podcast with my daughter, or having the music on, or just not talking. I'm very comfortable with that. He's not. So I get frustrated when people look at kids and say, there must be something wrong with you because you're not talking, because they don't need to all the time. And sometimes just being there with them. And sometimes when my daughter's not talking for a long time and we've been in the car a long time, I just kind of put my arm around her and rub her back,
Yeah. Connect
that way. I don't say anything. I just do this and she'll look at me and smile and
that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So again, Helen, we went a million different places there. And I think really your question was, how do I support her in this relationship? Because she has a small group of friends, or one best friend, which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Our kids don't need 10 best friends.
Yeah.
If they have a few good friends or a few different friends or one best friend, they're blessed. So we don't have to worry about giving our kids a big group around them, because they know what they need, and it may change and evolve over time, but we don't need to find them the group or tell them they need a group. So
we went in like 5 different directions, Helen, and I don't know if we actually zeroed in on our question. So I just unmuted you, Helen, and I just wonder if there's anything you want to kind of re-ask or reaffirm or whatever.
Yeah, I think I think I can't really speak at the moment. I'm sorry. I had a bit of quiet space, and now it's I can hear people moving downstairs.
So. Ah,
got it. You can't say
I'm
much.
I'm really sorry.
That's all right. Well,
this little girl is definitely an extrovert normally. So, you know, that was the reason I knew there was a problem, and I totally understand. I think the part where you were saying about, like, no pity, like, don't add more stress to the situation, I think that's exactly it. But I think it's in a way that was like one example that happened recently, but it was like, this is where I really struggle. Like, is it my problem or is it like something that's real? Mm. Because, you know, we've never had that type of conversation. And even like, I'm thinking like, I've like 2 years ago, there were situations where it was quite a mean girl class. And like looking back on it, it was really tough. And we never once spoke about it or had like, so I feel like there's a whole sort of element I'm missing out on and not able to, you know, it's always like the clam, the door closes and the more you sort of inquire, the tighter it gets and, yep. and less likely to have that conversation. So yeah.
Okay, I have one more thing to say to that.
One more thing and then we're going to go to Jennifer after that.
Yeah. So Helen, yes, I see exactly what you're saying and that is an indicator to me that those conversations are really scary for her. And that is okay. That's nothing that you need to be like, oh, that's horrible, because that's very normal. We avoid the questions that really feel fueled, you know? And so instead of having to open her up, you can share some of your own stories and know that just having an understanding of her experience makes an impact. One thing to just remember overall with our kids is if they know that what they're going through is normal, meaning other kids have gone through it before, or if they know that the feelings and fears that they're having are okay and will eventually pass, then they can handle it. They can handle it no matter what. But what I'm saying is that sometimes my daughters don't give me any feedback, but I'll tell a story like, oh, I had a friend like that and she did this and, you know, and I struggled with that and I was really afraid and I really took me a while to kind of work through that. And they won't comment about it. But then, you know, sometimes I'm thinking of my oldest, then like 2 years later, she'll say, oh, I'm so glad you told me that story because, and I didn't know, I thought it just fell on deaf ears. But what
you never know,
and I think that really what they need to know is, and I can say this personally too as an adult, what I'm feeling is normal, what you're going through, I can support you in, and I've had the same experience, and then you can leave it alone. So maybe just sharing sometimes next time, Helen, instead of asking her about her, if her friend is being mean or if her friend is quiet or she's usually extroverted and then she's introverted, even if, and again, I know the way I'm saying this, I'm not saying we have to full on lie, but even if you need to exaggerate a story a little bit, like, oh, I had a friend just like her, you know, you can kind of like, I sometimes, it's not that I full on make up a lie, but I sometimes make the comparison more literal than maybe it was. But what I'm trying to get to is the feeling, regardless of the story, I'm trying to get to the feeling, because the feeling I do understand. So,
all right. Okay. So just a quick thing. We are going to end 5 minutes earlier than we usually do, 12:55, because somebody...
I have a haircut. That's
needs to get her a haircut.
Well, and my friend who cuts my hair,
Alyssa, she practices yoga with Sean and I.
Yes, I love Alyssa. I was supposed to go at 1:30 because I knew we had the Zen talk. And then she said, can you come at 1? And I said, how about 1:05? Because she lives 10 minutes away. So I'm going to leave at 5 till, but you can close up shop at 5 till.
I'll close up shop.
Okay,
so let me go over to Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you, sweetie?
Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not really very good, and I've been off the calls for a while because of something going on in my life, and I was hesitant to even come on today because I guess I feel like a little bit of a failure in my personal life, and feel like I don't know, I'm torn because I do want support. I had emailed Todd and Kathy just saying like I wasn't sure if I should come on and talk about this. But I am getting a divorce, and it's been really hard because well, my kids don't know yet. We're in the early stages of it. But basically, I guess I've been married for 20 years. I've been with my husband for 27 years. And I guess in the past few years, I've just realized that no matter how hard I try, we just don't emotionally connect in a way that I need. And, you know, for a long time, I just kept thinking like, well, if the kids get older, maybe it'll get better. Or if we renovate our kitchen, things will get better. Or, you know, just little tweaks. And I guess the reason I kind of felt bad about coming on is because I feel like I've tried to follow so much of what we talk about, you guys talk about in the podcast and what we talk about in these calls. And so there's part of me that feels like if I was doing the things right, it would be working. Mm-hmm. And we did start marriage counseling, and it's been really, really hard because the therapist is great. Like, I highly recommend marriage counseling. Like, if maybe even if we had done it maybe 5 years ago, maybe it would have helped. I mean, she's really amazing. And but I feel very emotionally unsafe in that environment because all the things that we talk about are things that I've been talking to my husband about for years. And I just feel like every time we go there, we go once a week, and every time we go there, it's like throwing salt on a wound. Mm-hmm. And I do go to my own therapy, so I'm lucky to have my therapist as a support system. And Vinny has a really big family. I've talked about that before, a big Italian family, and he's not, he only told one person in his family. So we haven't gotten support from his family because he doesn't want them to know. I wanted to get separated for a little while just to have some space, and he doesn't want to do that. So I'm actually at my sister's apartment right now. I've been spending time at my sister's apartment just to give me some space from everything. And I guess, you know, there's part of me that's really proud of myself for recognizing that I don't want to be sad anymore. Mm. That I don't want to be, my husband's a great guy. He's really loyal and, he's kind, but he doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand how to emotionally connect with me. And I guess I'm just at the point where I'm tired of, I know he loves me, you know, on some level, but I don't feel loved by him. Mm. So I'm proud of myself for recognizing that it's okay not to stay in a situation where you feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I'm also really scared because, you know, I've been out of the workforce for 17 years, and I have some health issues, and even with insurance, it costs like $400 a month for my medicine. And I'm not really, I mean, I'm concerned about my kids, because I don't know that any kid wants their parents to get divorced, but you know, Vinny and I don't fight in front of them. It's not a toxic environment. My older son knows we're in marriage counseling, and I asked him if he was surprised that we were going, and he was funny because he said, you mean going to therapy? And I said, well, anything. He goes, well, you love therapy, so I'm not surprised at all by that. But it was interesting, his insight, because we don't talk to our kids about any of our problems. We don't put that on them at all. But I just wanted to make sure he was okay because he saw me upset a lot. And he said, you and Dad don't communicate very well. And he said, communication's key. So even as a 16-year-old boy, you know, they don't feel they don't feel anything toxic from it, but I think they all, even my little guys, recognize that we don't have the closeness that I think would be normal to model for them. We haven't told my youngest my twins, my 11-year-old twins, because I want to have more of a plan in place, because I feel like they're going to ask a lot of questions and I'm not going to have the answers, and I don't want that to be scary for them. But I guess, I mean, my husband and I think that we can navigate making things okay for them, but I don't know. I feel like being loving and being compassionate is one of my strong suits, and I guess I just feel like I don't know why I couldn't make this work. And you know, I guess I'm scared and I'm sad, but I also know that staying isn't the right answer. I just, I don't know. I wanted to tell you guys, cause I've been avoiding coming on. And I feel like I'm kind of like a fraud, because here we talk about relationships all the time and I can't even make the most essential one in my life work. So thanks for letting me tell you guys.
Yeah. So there's all these people writing these things that I want Todd to read in a second. But what I want you to remember, Jennifer, that when we talk about relationships and navigating relationships, sometimes relationships end. So it's not about, if you are a loving person, then everybody in your life will be loving. I'm not even saying your husband's not loving. But what I'm saying is sometimes there's wisdom in knowing when a relationship has run its course. And I never want any of you to think, because we get emails about this all the time, about relationship or about with parents or about, you know, a marriage breaking up, that they're like, they'll say, I'm failing, I'm doing what you're saying. And what you have to remember is your self-awareness, what has come from your self-awareness is you knowing what you need and you being able to have a positive conversation with your husband about what you need, going to therapy with him about what you need. And that may mean that you get a divorce, but it doesn't mean that you're not being loving. You know what I mean? To yourself or to your children or to him. Like sometimes we put these standards around ourselves. You know, we do it with parenting all the time where we say, if I was doing this right, it would look this way. When has anything looked the way you thought it was going to look? You know what I mean? Like with your kids, where you're like, if I was a good parent, my kid would do this. If I knew what I was doing in the marriage, then I would get, you know, this would happen and we would have this experience. That's all made up stuff in our head. So two things I want to say to you really quick, because I want Todd and other people to be able to talk to you, is one thing is that, and this is for all of you, but I'm going to offer this to Jennifer because she's been part of the team a long time. I have a good girlfriend, and I know you have a therapist and you have a marriage therapist, but I have a good girlfriend who is a parent coach who specializes in the stage that you're in right now. And I'm going to, Team Zen is going to pay for a session with her. And if you, you know, just even one call with her, she's awesome. I'll send you all of her information and I'll share it on here too. Because sometimes you only need one call with someone who can just kind of help you feel like, okay, I got my act together here. She'll help with, she can answer questions about when to talk to the kids again. And it's only an hour. I know you won't get through everything with her, but I want you to at least make connection with her because she's awesome. Okay. So yeah, so we'll cover that for you and I'll send you all that information. And, I also have, and probably other people on the team do too. I have about 3 or 4 girlfriends, some of my best girlfriends in the world who have divorced in the last 4 or 5 years, who I know would be happy to email with you, support you. They've been in the same mindset that you're in, and all of them are at different stages, but they can talk you through this one because they're a little bit past where you are now. Not all of them are, some of them, their divorces are final. Some of them are completing it, but they're all wonderful, beautiful women who still have somewhat of a relationship with their exes, but they did what was right for them. So I can send you their names too. And there might be some people on Team Zen who can do this too, but I just want you to know you're not alone. Okay.
So my take, Jennifer, is one, I just want to honor your courage to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I know we emailed together this morning and I knew that this was coming. And I think that's first and foremost, because sometimes when we're in pain, we want to close off.
Yeah, we pull away.
And you're opening yourself up, and that's a sign of strength. So kudos and blessings to you for that. A few of the words that you shared when you were sharing was like, you know, your ego is playing tricks on you, which is what it's designed to do. Like if you did things right, then maybe you wouldn't be in the situation, or you talked about you being a fraud. Just know that that's the voice inside your head. That's the clever ego just trying to make you feel less than, which you're not, obviously. And I don't know, I feel like we get, as far as I could tell, we probably get one chance at this thing called life, and our life is too precious to spend, forget about decades, more than a day or a month or a year to be not happy and not fulfilled. And your children deserve to have a mom that is happy, fulfilled, inspired. And if you don't find yourself in that situation, then you're taking that courageous move to do everything that you can to give yourself and that gift. And that, you said love and compassion is one of your strongest suits. And yep, this is your turn to turn that love and compassion on yourself. This is when you have to just self-care the shit out of yourself and love yourself as best you can, because right now you need it. And, you know, Kathy and I, we didn't know what we were doing when we created this community, but what's great about it is, you know, thanks to technology, you can be in a group of 80, you know, on this call, there's 17 of us, but there's a group of 85 people that I know are sending you love and support, and that knows that you're going to get through this, and don't pull the lessons out of it yet.
Yeah.
You just have to kind of take it one moment, one day at a time. Forget about the lessons. Those will show themselves after you're through some of these challenging times. But I know that you've said that in your geographic community, you don't have this. So I guess I'm just honored that this community can play a role in supporting you in this. So if you guys wouldn't mind, just for like maybe 10 seconds, just do something, put your hand on your heart, just do something.
And we'll just take a deep breath and we'll send collective energy to Jen. So just everyone take a deep breath in. Hold Jen in your thoughts. Exhale. Send her all your strength, your good vibes, your prayers and connection, and also the knowledge that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. It does. You don't know how it's going to be okay, but it is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's we keep going, you know. One of my favorite, when I was really depressed one time, one of my favorite sayings that I would say every morning, and it was Matthew McConaughey's, was just keep living. Just keep living. Like you don't, like Todd said, no lessons right now. Don't look for the big picture. Just keep walking. Keep getting up. Keep doing the things you know how to do. And there will be a new routine created. And that's why I know it'll be okay. See that? Because I, you know, we've all kind of been in these, they're different stories. It's not about comparison, but everybody's had just keep living times. There's a lot of people writing.
Yeah,
things.
Just real quick. Helen says, sacred ground, Jennifer, sending you love. Aaron says, love to you, Jennifer. Helen says, do you have the Kristen Neff book on self-compassion?
That's a really good suggestion, Helen.
Millie says, you're so strong, Jennifer, for making these realizations. You're being loving and compassionate, but there are two people in this relationship.
That's right.
You cannot put the onus on just yourself and blame yourself. Not saying to blame anyone, but you're standing in your truth and refusing to not be seen. You should be very proud of yourself for that. Only hugs to you. Sean says, peace and love, Jen. And Aaron says, I admire your strength and courage, Jen. Sending love. So I feel like that is a wonderful way to kind of end today's Zen Talk. Jen, if you're open to it, put something on the private Facebook page and allow other people to support you.
Yeah, allow us to gather around you. Like, you know, that they, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but about what the elephants do when someone's struggling is they gather around. So let us do that, because elephants like gathering around. We don't feel put out by it. It's something that we do. I have a little elephant in my meditation area, and I always say to him or her, who am I going to gather around today? You know, so let us do that. And then I will send you a personal email with my friend's information, and that'll all be set up. You can set up the time on your own when to talk to her, and then keep getting information from this group, because you've got a lot of wisdom here. There's some people here who completely know, they have some things to share with you as you just keep living and move forward.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
We love you.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
We love you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Keep trucking. Love you all.
We love you.
See you soon.
Thank you for being you.
Adios.
That was beautiful.